This is CliffCentral.com.
It's the weekend!
It's the weekend!
Baby! Baby!
Testing. Testing, testing. Want to do yours, Mavs?
Oh, testicles, testicles. 1, 2, 3.
Ben,
testing. Hello, Friday.
Hello, Friday.
Yeah.
Very nice. And Amanda, do you want to test yours?
Woohoo, happy Friday.
I know, isn't it nice? Sia's not here. We think he may have fallen asleep after Puzza Thursday last night and just not woken up.
Oh. Did he go large?
I don't know, because I wasn't with him, but I assume so based on what he was saying yesterday. Sia has this idea. Didn't you hear him saying that his new plan is he gets wasted on a Thursday and then he chills the whole weekend?
I did not hear that.
He somehow thinks that's a good idea. He proudly said, oh, Fridays are so easy around here. They just kind of happen. So who knows what that means?
Well, that's either arrogance or complacency. I'm not sure which one to go with.
I would call it youthful exuberance.
Nothing is easy around here. We work hard for everything.
We work hard for the money, especially Anthea. All right, anyway, listen, it's a Friday morning. The weekend is ahead. Anybody got any exciting plans? Ben, what are you doing?
Sure, Gareth, so much. So today's the big day. Get back out with a drone on the golf course.
Oh,
and what? The drone is fixed?
It's completely fixed. It's
how much did it cost you? Like a liver and half your lung?
No, you had to double mortgage the house.
I tell you what, this entire month has been the biggest kick in my nuts. Like, it's just been one of those months that you just hate.
Oh, me too. I just got my bill from SARS yesterday.
So you got to pay provisional tax. I've had the health issues with meowses. Obviously, the drone. Everything just sucks. But today I get to go out there. So if a tree trips me up today, you probably won't see me Monday. I'm just going to end it. So it's been a sequence of events that have just been too much to handle this month. I'm stressed. I'm tired. I'm broke. I'm not happy. But once that drone goes in the air, it's like my happy time.
But now it's going to be your first flight after a crash. Do you think that you're going to take it easy?
He's
are you going to be
such a nervous flyer?
Are you going to be nervous?
I am. Definitely going to be nervous. But I've learned so much in not flying and watching other references, and I'm going to be better at stuff. I'm not going to try to be so brazen or cavalier with my flying. And I'm pretty excited about that. And then I've got dinner with friends tonight. Tomorrow, quite a chill day. I'm just excited about the rugby. And then Sunday, Daniel and I are having a fancy lunch because on Monday I'm away.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Ben's drone up in the air. Mm. And then, you know, hopefully it stays up in the air. And when it comes down, it's by his design.
Yeah, it looks so good. Everything looks so fresh and new. And
oh, nice.
It's going to be amazing.
You know, I was really seriously considering buying one. I'm so glad I didn't, because this month is also just... they say August is suicide month. Do you know that?
Is it August?
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought it was March or something.
So if you've made it through August and you haven't killed yourself...
Woohoo! Mm. It's actually right.
It's almost done.
It's the 25th and I'm here, so...
Right. You have 5 days, 6 days left of it, because it's up to 31. So by this time next week, you'll absolutely know you can make it through the rest. And of course, from here on in, it's the best part of the year. It really is. Like September, October, November, December. The best months of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. We head downhill towards that December holiday, Christmas, New Year, all that stuff. It's the best. Yesterday, I was talking to Dori here in the office, and she told me about this really... horrible, awkward interview that Jerry Lewis, the old comedian, did with an interviewer. You've never, ever met such a grumpy person. He's in his 90s. And he was meant to sit down for this interview, and he agreed to, but my God, he was difficult. Every single question was terrible, and every answer was so blunt and straight to the point, and no detail was given, and one of the questions was a complete train wreck. I'll let you guess which one, but just listen to this.
Retiring? Why?
Was there never a moment?
Why?
You got it.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
What are people doing?
What are you doing?
No, not at all. No.
7 minutes of pain. Listen to this.
We're doing a feature on people who are still working in their 90s. Have you ever thought about retiring?
Why?
Was there never a moment that you thought it might be time to retire, or you would want?
Why?
You come from a generation a little older, and I think of Bob Hope, George Burns, Sinatra, people you knew, many of whom didn't want to or never retired either. Do you see similarities with them?
None.
None? What do you think drives people like you and them to want to keep working?
Because we do it well.
And how about what's different about performing now for you than, say, 20 years ago? How is it different?
Horrible.
For you?
It isn't.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Have you made any? Do you have to make any concessions to being, older in your performing, or does it? How do you keep the material fresh for yourself?
By working at it.
You've had a number of health issues over the last few years, as many people your age do.
Anyone that's 90 does.
Anyone that's 90 does. Continuing to work, does that actually help you get healthier? Does being sort of busy and engaged, do you think that actually helps you get healthier?
No.
Do you think it hurts? Like, do you think?
No.
What a prick to interview. I mean, I would have given up by now. I said, Jerry, fuck you.
Yeah. Got up and walked out. Get back in bed.
I mean, listen to this gap.
You've been coming to Vegas for a long time. You've lived here for a while. You've been coming here for a long time. How is Vegas different for you than when you first came here? When was the first time you performed in Vegas?
1947.
Can you tell me what Vegas was like when you first showed up?
It's not. It's the same.
It's the same?
Exactly the same.
Like, what is it about Vegas that you like? Or what is it about, like, how would you describe the place?
Oh, boy.
Like, when you showed up in 1947, what was it? It wasn't a little bit of a dusty cow town. What was it like?
A dusty cow town.
Jesus, he's just not interested.
And you still think of it as a sort of dusty cow town?
No.
And how about...
I mean, I would just love Jerry to say, look, dude, I don't like doing interviews. You write down whatever you like, and I'll have my people moderate it and write something up. I mean, he's got people.
Yeah.
Because to do this to this poor guy, I mean, he's not a great interviewer for a start, but he's struggling through this, and he should have just given up like 3 minutes ago already.
Is performing in Vegas now for you different than it was then?
Oh, boy. Like, and then he's going round and round in circles now.
No.
Not at all. And how about, what's your audience like?
He's just going through his questions now, written down.
You're still performing, you're 90. What's your audience like? Who are your fans? Are they different than they used to be?
No, they're still the same.
But you must have younger fans.
Some are younger.
This is so awful. This is, I mean, no one's going to benefit from this. Jerry hates it. The audience are going to hate it. People who don't know Jerry, they're going to hate him. The interviewer hates it. Who's enjoying this?
Is this because of the old man syndrome?
He's just, yes, look, it's partly the old man thing. Because you remember that interview I played you with Prince Philip, where he was the same. He was just difficult. One word answers. Correcting her where she was making mistakes. These old men just become very self-absorbed, and they're not particularly interested in sharing anything about their lives at this point. They're like, I'm about 5 feet from the coffin. May as well just shout and bark out answers at this idiot.
See, now, we can look at him as a grumpy old git, but now the focus has to be on the interviewer. He's got this prime opportunity to really make this entertaining and say, like, just ask him something personal, because all he's doing is he's going, oh, shit, that question didn't work. Let me try this question.
Yeah, Jerry, does your asshole hurt?
It's like, I mean, Jerry, are you really upset because you can't go to the toilet by yourself or something like that?
How's the gut, Jerry? All those years of drinking. Does it hurt when you walk? Does it hurt when you pee?
Because he's showing no respect to the interviewer whatsoever.
None. So you got to bring him down.
He hasn't got a gun to his head saying, you will do this interview. He's kind of willingly done this, right?
Look, at this point in any interview, this is what I would do. I'd realize I'm defeated. So what you need to do is you need to give not a shit. So here you have a unique opportunity. Jerry's shown you no respect. You don't have to show him any. He's going to be dead soon anyway. If you want this thing to go viral, now is your time to strike. Yeah, Jerry, you're an old prick. That's what you say. And you go watch his face explode. His ears start steaming. Who do you think you are? Exactly. Then you've got an interview.
And then Jerry would actually open up because he would now respect you. He's not treating you like a laptop.
Even if he didn't, his explosion would be worth filming.
Exactly. What do you think it is you have in that attracts you to younger fans? Like how have you sort of maintained your audience over the years?
You tell them you're playing there and they show up.
And you... Nothing different than that?
No.
How about you have you've had a long and distinguished career. Do you have a favorite period of your career, a part of your career you look back on as a moment when you were favorite, happiest, or your most creative?
What do you mean?
Well, like, is there a period in your career that you look back on that was your happiest time or your favorite time?
When my partner was alive.
When your partner was alive. So working with Dean Martin, was that your favorite?
Yep.
Part of your career?
Yep.
And what made that partnership work for you? Like, what was...
I'll show you some material, you'll know.
But if I'm not looking at the material, can you give me like a sense of like how it worked for you?
It was terrific.
And how about, do you have any advice for the young 80-year-olds about staying active?
Seamus, guy is so sad. He's so desperate, this interviewer. He's grasping.
This is a great interview lesson thing, mm-hmm. of what not to do.
Yeah.
Because it's hard doing interviews. Sometimes you will get a guy who's just being a prick.
Mm.
But you can still gain something out of it. This guy's he's drowning.
Yeah, he's not salvaging anything.
But also, why did they publish this interview?
Because it's very entertaining for those of us who are not involved.
90, just sort of...
Get a day job.
Oh!
But mm-hmm. You've never actually had a quote, day job. You've been a performer your whole life, isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You see, like, guys like that mustn't tell other people to get a day job.
Or a gay job.
Or a gay job. Because you know what? Jerry doesn't know the first thing about it. If he hadn't lucked out, and remember, in the 40s, it was very easy to be funny. You'd go, hello, my honey. Hello, my sweetie. Hello, my ragtime girl. And people would go, ha, 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 ha. Because they were polite. Jerry. Jerry's lucky to have a career right now. He's a grumpy old bastard. And if there was any comedy left in him, he would have stopped this interview about 5 minutes ago, or at least chuckled at the guy and said, listen, I'm over this. I'm 90-something years old. I'm on limited time. I don't want to spend it with you. Thank you. I just want to see how it ends, because that always is quite telling. So do you want to go to the end quickly? Let's skip to the last few seconds.
Because it is long. This is the funny thing about this interview. Yeah. It goes on forever.
Frank Sinatra or somebody that you worked with, but you know, over the years that you like to share?
No.
Not at all?
None.
How about you have an unfavorite story you'd like?
Nope. Not for this.
So I guess we're finished.
Sure. Anything else you want to?
No.
So we're finished.
Sure.
That must be the producer saying we're finished.
Someone's got into the interview.
All right, clean it out of here.
Oh, Jesus, what a misery.
Jerry died 20th of August.
Yeah.
He also didn't make August. See, I told you. We all made August.
So there
Jerry
he is.
Didn't.
All right. Anyway, I hope you don't rest in peace, you old asshole. All right, we got to get to news. We got to get to sport. We've got to get to the money with Anthea. Do we know where Sia is yet? Found him?
No luck.
Wow.
So we haven't tried to phone him?
So I tried to call him twice, and I sent him a WhatsApp. There was one tick and no answers.
Oh. Sure.
Let me tell you, this this whole thing of, you know, Thursday night, Pusa Thursday. I don't know if it works for Sia. You have to be a very disciplined human being to get that right.
Sia's got the enthusiasm of a 90-kilogram man.
Yeah.
The drinking capacity of a 48-kilogram man.
Uh-huh.
The latter being what he actually is, biologically.
Well, listen, we may not have Sia, but we do have an extra special person in this... Well...
Creature
in the studio. I mean, I can't believe we haven't spoken about him until
he's
now.
Sitting here, he's doing nothing. He's just chilling.
I know, but I mean, let's just say.
Well, if you go onto the Gareth Cliff Show Instagram page right now, you'll see who our special guest is, and you can submit questions for our special guest under the hashtag.
Yeah, we're not giving any clues at this point. You can go and have a look.
Yeah, the Gareth Cliff Show Instagram page.
Yes. Go and have a look, and you can join up there as well.
I mean, our guest is sitting right next to me.
Yes.
In the picture. Yeah.
Can I talk about one serious thing quickly before we get into the five things you need to know?
Okay.
This complete savage, uncivilized monstrosity, Andile Mlitama. Do you see what he tweeted out yesterday?
For those claiming the legacy of the Holocaust is only negative, think about the lampshades and Jewish soap.
Now, I know what he thinks he's trying to do here. He's just equating in his mind the Holocaust and Helen Ziller's tweet to show how insensitive Helen Ziller's tweet was. But Helen Ziller, if you multiplied it by 100, wouldn't have been as offensive as what he's talking about here. There was not a genocide of 6 million people under this, the colonial system in South Africa. And more people, as you may have read in various statistical reports over the last couple of years, more people have died at the hands of criminals and of the state in places like Marikana and in the Free State and remember Andries Tatane and those kinds of things. More people have died since 1994 at the hands of a state who wanted to hurt them than died pre-1994. And you know what? You can get as angry as you like about whether those statistics fit your political narrative or not. And of course we all understand the hideousness that was colonialism and the oppression and the violence and the nastiness that occurred, particularly in places like the Congo, where there were many, many thousands, if not millions, of people killed. So in that way, you probably could equate them. But that isn't in living memory, where we have pictures of people in concentration camps and bodies being burnt in ovens and mass graves, the like of which has never occurred in documented human history. And to talk about lampshades made of human skin, which was an actual thing the Nazis did, and Jewish soap made from people's bodies, and to think that that is a subject fit for humor, is something an unsophisticated rube, even in their lowest moment, even if they were drunk or high on niope, would not think a fit subject for humor. It's outrageous that this Andile Mlitama thinks that he even has the locus standi to stand with the rest of us and deliver any kind of comment. I can't understand how Twitter won't ban him for this. I'm going to write to Twitter myself to say this is the most egregious form of hate speech. And remember, I'm not Jewish. I had two grandparents who fought against the Nazis. But I don't think that this is appropriate. And a very few things in the world offend me. But to be joking or to be making comments that are glib like that about the Holocaust in order to what? Show up Helen Ziller? What's your angle here? Like, what do you want to achieve here, Andile? Do you want people to compare the two? It's not going to come out favorably for you. This is straight up hate speech. And it shows such a disrespect for history. You know, for someone who's always talking about the past and how the past disadvantaged his ancestors, you seem to know very little about the past. And I'm horrified. I'm horrified that someone would tweet something like this out. I've seen a lot of, you know, insensitive, perhaps offensive, maybe stupid stuff on the internet. But this is going to go down as one of the very lowest things that I've seen scurry from the cracks in the internet. And I do hope that this costs you not only what little is left of your broken, shattered, leaking, creaking reputation, but that the people of this country also take a chance to, since you've brought it up, to read about the ugliness that was the Holocaust. Before we just throw around comparisons, I've already said how I get annoyed when people say Trump is Hitler. You don't obviously understand how wicked and evil Hitler was. Not just from the point of view of the Jews. From the point of view that he brought the entire civilized world to the brink. And for you to think that this is something that's worth using as a comparison with Helen Ziller is, you, first of all, you elevate what you think is Helen Ziller's nastiness to a level that isn't comparable with what's going on. And second of all, you denigrate the suffering of millions and millions and millions of people who may be dead, but whose voices are still ringing in our ears, even though none of us were alive at the time that these people were killed. It's just so sick. It's so sick. It's depraved. And I hope horrible things happen to you in your career from now on. And I haven't wished that on anyone for a long time.
I think just being him is the horrible thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, how do you sleep at night thinking things like that? How do you deal with that? I do not know it. It upset me so much. I did not stop being angry until I went to sleep last night, and that hasn't happened for years, that I've been angry going to sleep at night. I don't go to sleep angry. I keep telling people that. And I don't hate you, Andina. I feel very, very sorry for you. I feel sorry for you that your window on humanity is so narrow that you allow poisonous ideology and whatever shithole you grew up in and whatever awful circumstances your parents beat into your head or some lecturer poisoned you with or some church or who knows what wickedness was foisted upon you at an early age that you're so full of anger and malice. I would imagine it must be a very sad and lonely place where you go to sleep at night and you know that you're wandering through this howling wilderness all on your own. All right, let's get our attention turned to the real stories in the news this morning, because he's not the most important newsmaker in South Africa by any means. The five things we need to know to start our day today. It's Friday. The weekend is finally here. Mabali's got a look at those, and it's brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. What do we got?
Well, Belle Pottinger, not necessarily having a good day since yesterday after news surfaced that they could be stripped of its membership of the UK's Public Relations and Communications Association. This is after a disciplinary committee upheld a complaint which was lodged by the DA. The party has accused Belle Pottinger of exploiting racial divisions in South Africa. The DA's complaint was based on information which was revealed in the Gupta leaks. And indeed, Belle Pottinger has been found guilty in this regard, and as a result, they could have some penalties to pay.
I think they should just pay. Whatever the Guptas paid them, they should give to the country. Yeah. But not to the government. How can they do it? What, should they put it into, like, the... maybe they should start a fund that'll help poor people in South Africa. Or that'll help mend race relations.
I don't exactly know what the fitting punishment here is, but it sounds to me at this point like it's a case of them having their membership revoked.
What do you think?
Their membership to the Public Relations and Communications Association.
What does that mean? You go to
that's
one less
the penalty.
Do you go to one less gala dinner in a year?
I don't know. That's why I'm saying
No, there's got to be full disclosure of what they were told to do, what they were tasked to do, and the motives behind it. That's got to be step one.
Yeah, and then they've got to pay all that money to Vicky Sampson to write another African Dream type song that whites and blacks will both love. Yes, because that, of course, everybody loved, right? Whites and blacks loved that song.
We did.
So maybe she should write another song and they should pay for it. That'll solve all our problems. All right.
All right, and then in a very rare display of agreement yesterday, the DA and the ANC came together and supported a recommendation to install a statue of Nelson Mandela on the balcony of Cape Town City Hall.
That's a good idea, because that's where he made his first speech after he was released from prison.
The statue, which is expected to cost around 3.5 million rand, will be paid for by provincial government.
Why would a statue cost that much? I know artists who can do that for a couple of grand.
I don't know what the total list of expenses covered is in making a statue. So you pay the sculptor, and then what? Then what?
You probably pay the family for usage rights.
I can't imagine that that's necessary. I mean, he's a... Maybe the foundation just have to give permission, so you don't need to worry about that.
Well, can't they just melt down statues that are offending people and just use that?
Yeah, melt down an HF Favut statue. Listen, we've got Favut statues all over the place. Melt down one of those. Pour it into the same Mandela mold that we've done, because there's statues of him all over the place. The nicest one is the one at Drakenstein Prison. You know where he walked out? It's nice. It's got him with his fist raised. It's a really nice statue. It's there in Paul. They should copy that one. Put that one up there.
And then we've got 2 more million rand at least that can go into...
That same Vicky Sampson fund for another African Dream Song.
Is that the agenda that we're going to be pushing now? African Dream Song.
Have you got a better idea?
Not at the moment, but, you
right.
know.
All right, then let's go with that.
We'll compile a list. Now, the city of Cape Town are going to... are going to receive over 20 million rand from the National Disaster Management Center to assist in efforts to combat what is now a critical drought status. Patricia de Lille, the mayor, said that the grant will provide emergency relief for the drilling of boreholes, pumps, and pipeline installations.
Well, there we go. We need at least 2 million for that.
Okay, well, they're going to get 20 million, Ben. And she said that this will help supplement the water supply. Cape Town was declared a local disaster area back in March already, and it doesn't seem as though there has been much improvement. So this is the next step, is to give them 20 million rand for them to try and, you know, come up with relief efforts. Again, if you're in Cape Town, you know, let us know how bad it really is. Like, how is your day-to-day affected because of the drought?
Well, they're all smelly and dirty. They can't wash. Okay. They switched off our water at my house yesterday. Obviously, I wasn't home until the afternoon, late afternoon. But it was off until 7:30 in the evening. So I think it went off at 9 in the morning, according to, you know, what my SMS said. And that was just one day, and I was struggling. So I can't imagine how Cape Town feels.
Yeah. Huh?
It must have been horrible. It must still be, and it's ongoing. And they say... that this is not even the worst of it, because even though they've got a little bit of rain now, they're worried about next winter.
Yeah, that's the thing. Why, even if it rains well now, it's going to be 3 or 4 years to really recoup it.
Yeah, because they only get their rain in the winter, and they haven't had enough. It's already the end of August.
Well, that's what I was thinking. You know, when you get into a shower and it's cold, you need the hot water to really warm you through. But if you only got like 2.3 seconds, it's just horrible.
Yeah,
it's pretty horrible.
Now, Canadian citizens who do not identify as either male or female will soon be able to mark X on their passports, as well as other identity documents. This was revealed by the Canadian government yesterday. From the 31st of August, citizens will be able to add an observation to their passports stating their sex should be identified as X, indicating that it is unspecified and, I suppose, none of your business.
Yeah, Justin Trudeau, Justin, as Donald Trump calls him, Justin from Canada, obviously not to be confused with the other Justin from Canada, Bieber. Apparently there are a bunch of different things that you can put on a form now. So you could put X there if you want to, but do you know what the other ones are?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, we got to get through this quickly, but let me go to this quickly for you, help you figure it out. Here are the different kinds of things that you could have. Where is this goddamn thing? So they've changed Twitter, right?
Yes, they have. They've upgraded it.
All right, so here it is: LGBTTTIQQAAPP.
Is that one thing?
That's, you know, that what we used to say LGBT. You don't say that anymore. Now it's LGBTTTIQQAAPP. Seriously, if you want to be totally politically correct, that's what you have to say. So do you know what they stand for?
I'm wondering what the P's stand for, right, especially.
So lesbian. Come on, help me with this. You know what LG.
Lesbian gay.
Right. G. Other G?
There's two G's?
Genderqueer. Does anyone know what that is?
Doesn't it go LGBT and then goes into LGG?
LGG. Lesbian, gay, genderqueer. B is bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
D is demisexual. I don't know what that is.
Okay.
Maybe we can investigate all of this after 7. Transgender is the first T.
Yeah.
Transsexual is the second T. Two-spirit is the third T. Don't know what that is either.
Is that when you kind of bi-religious?
Don't know. Intersex is I.
Okay, that's a familiar
but
one.
We all intersex, though.
What is intersex?
Intersex.
Intersex, not intersex. QQ, that's queer and questioning. The two are different. A.
Questioning.
You want to guess
what? Then you can't be on a confirmed list if you're still questioning. I mean, come on.
Well, Ben, maybe
I'm
you're
very
still
liberal, but this
maybe
is
you're,
just
maybe
too
you're
far.
Still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, you're trying to figure it out.
But then you're in the practice area. You're not in the title.
What? What are you going to write on the form if Justin from Canada asks you to fill in a
that's
form?
That's like saying, well, here are their additions, but yeah, we also this is the cast list for the movie.
All right, hang on.
A.
Asshole.
Oh, asexual?
Might involve the asshole sometimes, but no. It's asexual, correct, my buddy.
Yeah.
My buddy's
that's
very
just,
good
that's
at
just a social choice. That's not a sex. Come on.
A, the other A?
Oh, no, I'm out of A's.
Allies. I don't know. I mean, isn't that those are the people who fought Hitler in World War II?
Exactly.
Right?
Can't they get over the Second World War
P
now?
P and P.
Yeah, this is what I'm interested in, the P's.
Okay, if the first P is for pansexual, that means you just you have sex with everything.
You're just ready for pulses.
Right. And polyamorous is the last one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've heard those words before. I don't know what they mean.
Well, we'll find out after 7. We'll interrogate all of these different terms. Here's Ben with the latest in the sports.
Champions League draw. So, as I was saying, Liverpool, they snuck in at the end there because they had a chance to beat 1899 Hoffenheim or someone. So, that little stage is gone. Now it's the big boy stage. All the big teams are being grouped with everyone else. So, this is the Champions League draw. Group A sees Man United drawn with Benfica, Basel, and CSK Moscow. So, Man United, favorable group there if you're a fan of them. Then Bayern Munich, PSG, Anderlecht, and Celtic is Group B. Remember, the top two teams from each pool go through after this. Chelsea is in Group C with Atletico Madrid, Roma, and Karabakh. I'm not entirely sure about that one. Group D sees Juventus, Barcelona, Olympiacos, and Sporting Lisbon. So everyone looks out for a group of death, right? But in order for a group of death to be a group of death, there needs to be three prominent sides. So far, so good for the seeded teams in Groups A to D. Group E sees Spartak Moscow, Seville, Liverpool, and Maribor. So Liverpool kind of given a nice grouping there.
Maribor.
Group F sees Shakhtar Donetsk, Man City, Napoli, and Feyenoord. Again, Man City with something decent there. Then it's Monaco, Porto, Besiktas, and RB Leipzig.
Oh my god.
And then Group
I think
H.
It's Leipzig.
Leipzig, okay, Gareth. That's all right. Get it wrong from time to time.
Okay, you're not German. You're Polish.
So, it's fair to say none of those are groups of death, right? You wouldn't go for that being group of death. Well, Group H, Real Madrid, Dortmund, Tottenham Hotspurs, and Apul.
Isn't Apul a Gupta?
Yeah. So, if you wear these Guptas. So,
by the way, just quickly, before you go into any more stupid names of stupid teams that we don't really know, Michael from Kolkakio has just messaged me with that same LGGBDTTTIQQAAPP thing. So I think we've got to talk about this after 7.
It'd be quite a pizza, that one, actually, because imagine the toppings on that.
Imagine, I mean, Kolkakio is probably the only people in the whole world who could make an LGBBQQIPPTTTAAASBGGBDTTTIQQAAPP.
No, I love toppings. I'd give it a go.
Yeah, what the hell not?
So it would appear that Group H is the group of death there, because Real, obviously best team in the whole world, Dortmund pretty handy, although they're about to lose their top striker to Barcelona for a stupid amount of money. Spurs, well, Spurs fans will obviously believe they can go through, and then we'll Apple, yeah, we're going to trouble too much.
Apple.
But all of these teams, all of these groups are difficult, because Champions League is, this is it, that's why it's called the Champions League, because everyone here has done something pretty big. In sports. That's not actually funny, Gareth. That was
no,
just the
Apul, Apul is a stupid name for a team. Yeah. It is funny.
So that's Champions League. Ronaldo won another award yesterday, that UEFA Player of the Season thing. UEFA just trying to get in there, because everyone knows it's all about
how
that.
How long
best
until
award.
We get a... I mean, we've seen a Tiger Woods dick pic in the last few days. How long until we get a Cristiano Ronaldo? I'll bet you he has a huge schlong as well.
Yeah.
As if his life isn't charmed enough.
Well, Gareth, I guess there's certain times in the sporting season where there's not a lot going on, so we do crave dick pics. I mean, again, that's why I think I said it this week. We all respect Tiger Moore.
I reckon if you haven't, you must listen to Ben's Bounce show from yesterday. He pretty much says to Lindsay and Tiger, you know, get out there with those pics of your genitals and be proud.
Exactly.
It's a very good show. You must listen to yesterday's show.
Thank you, Gareth.
The Bounce.
Thank you. It's rugby this weekend, so the Bucks will be wearing the red jersey. And if you still don't know why they're going to be wearing the red jersey in Salta, it is because of 25 years of unity, and that red symbolizes one of the colors of the South African flag.
Uh-huh.
Call it what you will. Everyone can have a little bitch and moan about it. Let's get over it. The Bucks have a test match to win here, because last year they went to Salta and they lost. Not too many scars from that last game, though, because, let's be honest, the rest of that year was a complete and utter shit show, so you can't exactly say one game was pushing them over the edge. But it'll be a big game, 9:30 South African time on Saturday. You can see Ibn Etzebeth and his team run out in the red to play against the Pumas in the blue and white.
Yes.
I just hope it's not a red rag to the Pumas. We often get very fired up when they play at home. I don't know what it is. Maybe they spice their steaks a little bit more out there. But they're going to be chomping at the bit. Frothing, actually. Frothing. In other frothing news, Michael Checker, who's been known to froth from time to time, well, he says he's got a lot of hate mail because his team is so crap at the moment. But it's a difficult thing when you're a national coach, because obviously it's the highest honor, it's the best job, it pays well, and when things are going well, that's the best. It must be the absolute best feeling as a coach. But when things are going bad, you've got the entire nation hating you. If you've got a Super Rugby team or a provincial team and they're doing bad, it's a region of the country who will be throwing shit at you. The whole of Australia, well, okay, people who play rugby in Australia, so that's like 14%, they're all hating Michael Checker right now. And he says, look, guys, I can understand the emotions, but don't let it spew over to hate, because that is just, nothing good comes out of hate. We are trying our best, and we'll do what we can. And Saturday is the only day of the week that we can actually turn things around. So look out for our play on Saturday. Well, they're going to get hammered. They're playing in Dunedin against the All Blacks, 9:30 South African time on Saturday. And that is not going to be pretty if you're an Aussie fan. So into the cricket, Russell Domingo is now the head coach of the Pretoria Mavericks, which is the global T20 league team based out of Pretoria.
What happened to the Titans?
Well, Gareth, that's a South African team.
Oh.
The global T20 team. We think we own this. We do not. It's owned by people from Dubai, Pakistan, India.
But it's a South African based.
Yes.
So it's going to be our players?
There's lots of our players. There will be a draw this weekend. So Sunday, massive player draw, where they'll be bidding basically for everyone. And international players, there's about 90 of them in the player mix. There'll be marquee players, and every team will have a certain international flavor and flair. Edward Avila is obviously the marquee team for the Pretoria Mavericks. Every one of these logo reveals looks like they've just tasked 8-year-olds with like paint and come up with a logo. Because it looks like, anyway, it's not getting to it. That's negative. That's wrong. I should not be pulling the piss out of something like that.
Yeah.
So that's the Mavericks. That's one of 8 teams. They've all kind of been revealed. And on Sunday, you'll see exactly which teams are grabbing which players. In other cricket news, no, let's not talk about that. England are about to hammer West Indies again in the second test, where West Indies have no chance of doing anything. And India beat Sri Lanka in the second ODI. In football news, it's the MTN8 back again this weekend. So SuperSport United will take on Maritzburg United Saturday, 8:15 South African time. And then on Sunday, Cape Town City versus Wits. Now, that's a big clash, because Cape Town City just beat Wits in the league. Now the match goes to Cape Town Stadium, so it's a home game for Cape Town City. 3:30 on Sunday. Premier League, that's the rest of the sort of big action for the weekend. We'll see Man City kicking things off on Saturday at 1:30. They'll be away to Bournemouth. Newcastle, they still haven't got a win this season so far. They'll be taking in West Ham at home at St James's Park at 4. And then Huddersfield Town, currently unbeaten, will host Southampton.
Huddersfield Town.
And then the bigger team is, we've got Man United. They'll play Leicester City at 6:30 on Saturday at home. And then for the other ones on Sunday, Chelsea versus Everton. Everton have a decent start so far. Obviously, Wayne Rooney's in good form. He scored in both games. He's just retired as an international player, so he's focusing just on his club now. 2:30 that match. Spurs will be hosting Burnley at Wembley. And then Liverpool versus Arsenal. That's the big game. 5:00 Sunday, Liverpool versus Arsenal. Two teams with so much scoring potential, but very little backbone and defence. So they're evenly matched. They'll be very, very good. And of course, it is the big money fight. 5:30 Sunday, South African time.
Aha!
That is Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather. We've spoken about this at length. There was a final kind of press conference yesterday, and they both just looked knackered. They both just throwing so much shade at each other. Eventually, at one stage, they were actually complimenting each other. It just goes to show they've run out of things to say. It's down to the fighting. That's all we all care about. 5:30. Wake up for that one if you can. It's going to be worth it because it's a show. It's all this, the whole thing is being, is to create a massive show. There'll be some boxing too.
Well, I don't think there's going to be any Said by Sia later on because he's still not here. He had a puzza Thursday last night and he didn't wake up this morning on time. He says his phone was off.
Yeah, he says his phone died and he overslept.
Okay, but we'll find out the truth in a short while. In the meantime, do remind me, Mubs, that we've got to look at the office betting pool on the Mayweather and McGregor fight later on. All the people here in the office suddenly seem to have been swept up in all the excitement around this big fight, which is happening on Sunday morning early. And we've got some bets in the offing. Some people have offered up personal possessions that are worth something to them. And they're going to lose them if their person doesn't win. So the stakes are high. Speaking of the stakes being high, it's time to check in with Anthea Gardner and see what's going on in the money stakes. That's right, it's time for the money shot.
Here she is, Anthea.
She looks hard for the money. So hard for it, honey. She looks hard for the money. So you better treat her right.
You know, Anthea, I was walking through the stock exchange the other day and I heard people singing this. I think it had something to do with you.
I must have been in one of those meeting rooms.
Yeah, maybe. So what's happening? What's Friday looking like?
Oh, it's very good news today. I mean, globally, markets are firmer, except for the U.S., and we'll talk about that in a minute. And then on our stock exchange, we're having a really good run. The index was up 0.75% yesterday. Volume traded $2.2 billion. So compared to what we've been seeing of late, the 1.4, it's a really nice day. And drumroll, Naspers is now officially a 3,000 Rand share because it closed 3,017 Rand yesterday.
Wow. Wow.
And then I know, all very exciting, right? I guess now the question is, will it have a pullback? Because I think 3,000 is fairly psychological. Mm-hmm. Or will it carry on up? I'd like to see it at 3,200 Rand in the next couple of weeks, but then again, I'd like to see it at 3,500 Rand. So I don't always get what I want.
Well, people are looking for value, right? People are looking for somewhere where they can grow their money fast and they can grow it as fulsomely as possible. And Naspers seems to be one of those shares that is based on real value. You always talk about how it's at a discount because you're buying Naspers, but you're really buying 10 cents. And the figures are very good, blah blah blah. So it would, on paper, it looks like it's an obvious.
It's a good purchase. It's a good share to have in your portfolio. But Gareth, I think to add to what you've just said, I think we know the market does not go up in a straight line, and like no share does. So it's probably going to have a pullback at some stage.
But
just
that doesn't
don't
mean
try and
that,
time it.
It doesn't mean you would sell.
No, absolutely not.
All right.
And then the two big exceptions, the U.S. and Steinhoff. Let's talk about the U.S. first, because all other markets were green, except for the U.S. yesterday. And I think it's all because of Trump. So firstly, he keeps threatening to shut down the government because if they don't give him money to build the Mexican border wall.
He's such a child, this guy. I want to build a wall. If you're not going to give me the money, I'm going to shut down the government. What a prick.
And he says, And America might not sign NAFTA. And you're like, stop it. I actually just don't know what to say.
And billions and billions and billions and billions.
All right, Donald.
And so he's getting punished. His stock market's getting punished for that because it was one of the very few markets that was in the red yesterday. And then back home, the big news yesterday. I was at an event at about 9:56 yesterday morning, the first WhatsApp came through. Steinhoff down 6% on no news. Then Steinhoff down 8%. Then Steinhoff down 9%. Then Steinhoff down 12.5%. Such drama on the share yesterday. Apparently, there was a German magazine, Manager Magazine it's called, that reported that the German Public Protector's Office in Oldenburg, which is a town in northern Germany, was investigating Steinhoff, including Markus Juster, for balance sheet forgery. So in other words, they had put excessive returns or excessive revenues on their balance sheet. And there were also a couple of intangibles. I mean, we've heard the story before, actually, where Steinhoff didn't comply by the financial reporting rules of Germany, you know, when they first went to list. But apparently they fixed it. Then, so now this magazine, which, by the way, only has a circulation of 130,000, was saying that Steinhoff's offices were raided and all these accusations. There was also accusations of market collusion, yes. And then also they've got this partner, a Dr. Andreas Sievert. Well, actually not a partner anymore. He was a partner in one of their joint ventures. And he's claiming that there were falsifying of signatures on documents that he had done with Steinhoff. And so now the share fell 12.5%. Actually, it closed at about 10% down yesterday.
Okay.
Christo Visser came out yesterday. It took Steinhoff ages to repudiate the statements or the report. And Christo Visser came out yesterday. I have never heard him so angry. He was just blatantly saying this was such a load of rubbish and how dare they, and this is absolute nonsense. And if he's right, then this is an absolute buying opportunity because Steinhoff is now on a 10.5 times forward PE, and you're not going to get that sort of opportunity often. It's about, I think it closed at about 58 Rand a share yesterday. I mean, we already have the share in our portfolio, and a lot of the big houses do. You know, Coronation, I think, has a 7% weight in its portfolio, and the share is only 4% in the index, which means that Coro's like almost double overweight. And
what's the Steinhoff code?
Yes, absolutely. If you can get some this morning, SNH.
What? SNH. All right, got you.
Yeah. So like a 10% move down in Steinhoff yesterday was worth 30 billion rand in market cap.
Wow.
This is just depressing, quite frankly.
All right.
Yeah, and then like a couple of other results, some of the retailers and also Bidcorp, which is really the old Bidvest food services business, reported yesterday. Strong set of results, headline earnings per share up 9.4% in constant currency, because you know they do a lot of work or generate a lot of revenue offshore. In constant revenue, if you take it in the currency where they generated revenue and you don't translate it back into rands, HEPS was up 19%. And I mean, that's all very good and very exciting. But I think with Bidcorp, the real story is this margin expansion. I think about 18 months ago, I was in a results presentation with Bidcorp, and they were saying they're looking for 5% operating margin. And we were all going, oh, that's quite steep, you know, that's a difficult one. But actually, it looks like they are getting there, because year on year, operating margin was up from 3.7 to 4.2. And if they can continue that trend and reach 5%, it sounds like small incremental gains, but actually the leverage on kind of the profitability of the company, it makes a huge difference. I mean, it's not cheap. It's now on a 22 times forward earnings. But if they can continue the story of kind of just doing good business, generating profit, pushing out the margin, then I think it's probably this 22 times forward earnings multiple is probably justified.
Huh. Okay.
We do hold it in our portfolios, by the way.
Right. All right.
Yeah. And so today we've got Janet Yellen speaking at Jackson Hole. Everyone's very excited about that. The dollar was a bit stronger, but honestly, with Trump, I don't think there's anything she could say that'll help their market today.
Cool. Well, thank you for the info. We will check in with you on Monday.
Super. Have a good weekend.
Thank you very much, Anthea Gardner. We will see you in a moment for the news. Stick around for that and more. Friday.
My life will never be the same.
This is CliffCentral.com.